You're listening to WHTT Speaks Out. Each week, Chuck Carlson and members of We Hold These Truths look into events that are, for the most part, ignored or overlooked by the mainstream media. And we analyze these events. To get free and periodic updates to this program and our other interesting programs, be sure to enter your email address in the Subscribe to WHTT box on the right side of our website, WHTT.org. And now, ready, set, let the sparks fly.
In today's We Hold These Truths Speaks Out, we will be revisiting a couple articles written by our own Charles Carlson in 2002. Actually, we're going to focus more on the second article. The first is entitled The Cause of the Conflict, Part 1, Fixing Blame, and Part 2 is called The Cause of the Conflict, The Middle East. In Part 1, Fixing the Blame, at the root of the problem is a race-hate cult that has emerged under American Zionist leadership. Without this unholy alliance, there would have been no uprisings because the West Bank and Gaza would not have become occupied territories. And so Chuck gets into how did this struggle come about. We're going to focus more on part two tonight, which is the Middle East. Chuck, why do you think it's necessary to revisit these articles that you wrote some 17 years ago?
Well, the reason I think we need to revisit them is they turned out to be quite true. And the things that we talked about happening 17 years ago have, for the most part, happened. And I'm not just talking about things that happened in the Middle East. I'm talking about things that happened in the American churches. And in this article back in 2002, we talked about the Jewish movement to control American churches, which was done for the purpose of creating a policeman in the Middle East to essentially manufacture power and run things in the Middle East. And that's what Israel has become. It's become the bad cop in the Middle East. So we think we laid that out pretty well with the causes and effects back in 2002. It was, however, just months before I visited Israel and Palestine and stayed in Gaza and did the filming for the tragedy and the turning. So, long answer to your short question. And that's why I think revisiting is good.
I know in the second article you spend a lot of time talking about the Scofield Reference Bible. And how do you feel that that is really impacted the Christian community? And do you think it's still as valid today as it was 17 years ago?
Sure, I do. First of all, the big plan to control the Middle East and all of its oil involved getting control over a half dozen countries that had title to this oil and lived on the oil, one of them being Saudi Arabia. The American people, of course, were church-going people, and we had just gotten over World War II, and the popularity of another war or causes in other places was not very high at that time. The Scofield Reference Bible was actually a Jewish concoction created for the purpose of controlling the Christian Americans. And, of course, it was never admitted that this was a reason for it or what it was created for, but that's our conclusion and the conclusion we draw throughout this lengthy series that we did back in 2002 and 2003 and 4. And so the Scofield Bible became the tool that was used to control the evangelical churches. The end result of all this is that we have roughly 40% of the church-going people in America have been taught on Sundays that the state of Israel was created at God's command to accommodate the Jewish people because they supposedly had relatives who had lived there 3,000 years before. So it became the tool that was used to convince the so-called evangelical church, and that church has become known today as the Christian Zionists in a lot of cases, some more radically Zionist than others, but this basically is what we know as evangelical church that teaches a kind of religious order called dispensationalism, and the more radical of which have been come to be called Christian Zionists because they support everything that Zionists do in the Middle East and everywhere else in the world for that matter, but predominantly focused on the Middle East.
Now, Chuck, in your article, you talk about the relationship between some very influential Jewish leaders that put money into this Scofield Bible and so forth. I think you mentioned Samuel Untermyer.
Samuel Untermyer was a wealthy lawyer, and family law firm still exists in New York. Of course, he's Jewish. He was the contact man with a reprobate named Cyrus I. Scofield. And Scofield was a Civil War veteran, but he had a seamy past and was sort of an opportunist, the kind we think about today as political opportunists maybe, but he actually had some talent for writing. And he became very close to this powerful establishment whose aim it was to create the Bible that would lead Americans. They were trying to create a Bible that would change America to accept the notions of Judaism in America. And this goes back to old Europe, where the ancient Jewish organizations, the Zionists of Europe that controlled Europe, were always trying to figure out how to get control of America. And what stood in their way was the Christian church, because in our country, the first country known to do this, you actually had a majority who went to church. And the church was a powerful establishment in America in the 1800s and before. So it's not surprising that the powerful interests, such as the Rothschild interest and the banker interest that controlled the Bank of England at that time, it's not surprising that they would try to figure out a way to get control of America. And in our opinion, the major effort to do this was done by attempting to get inside the Christian churches and start to control the thought in the American churches. The Scofield Reference Bible, funded by Samuel Untermyer and his gang who were behind him in America, and supported by English interests, including one particular Scot named John Nelson Darby, they created then in 1909 the Scofield Reference Bible, a Bible that had footnotes in it that began to work in the direction of convincing Americans that they had to honor Israel or Jewish people, essentially, wherever they were. And this Bible then was eventually converted into the present-day Scofield Reference Bible, one of which I have on my desk.
And Chuck, what I think is really interesting is that Scofield died in 21, and yet there's been many revisions to the Scofield Reference Bible when he's been long dead. And can you talk about some of those changes that took place, especially after the Six-Day War in 67?
Okay, and you're making a great point. One of the most powerful and convincing arguments that the Scofield Bible was created to bend people's mind is the very thing you said. C.I. Scofield, in my next to the last edition, dated in 1967, which I've used for years, on the flyleaf, the cover page of the Bible, Scofield Reference says Holy Bible, authorized King James Version, and then it says editor C.I. Scofield, D.D. I guess the D.D. means deceased, but he is shown as the editor as though he was still alive, and anyone picking up and reading the Bible would see that and think he was indeed the editor because it doesn't list any other name on the cover page inside the cover. That's just a minor deception compared to all the other ones. What was done was Scofield did not change the text of the Bible. He simply wrote explanatory footnotes that were in many cases totally misleading, and lots of them were quite false. And we cover that in this edition number 2, The Cause of the Conflict, Part 2. And I think that's the reason that everyone should read this, is because it goes exhaustively into covering the misstatements and misquotes and mind bending that went on in this Scofield Reference Bible. For instance, there were outright additions to it. One of the additions on page 19, which is the book of Genesis, is the footnote that says, God made an unconditional promise of blessing through Abram's seed to the nation of Israel to inherit a specific territory forever. And then on the next page, a explanation to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. This is not put into the text. This is put in the footnote at the bottom. There is a promise of blessing upon those individuals and nations who bless Abram's descendants, and a curse laid on those who persecute the Jew. So this is taken out of thin air. These are just conclusions that were written in, and in all cases, they change things that didn't say this at all. So you can look in the King James Version of the text, and it states what has been traditionally in the text, and then you look at the footnote at the bottom, and it contradicts it completely. This goes on all throughout the Scofield Bible, and there are literally dozens of examples of this cited in this part two of the Cause of the Conflict. The direction of each and every one of these statements and explanations is pointing to the fact that Christians should treat the Jewish people as God's chosen people today, as though they were living in Abraham's time, and that we should then honor them as though God had selected them personally out of thin air to be his chosen people today. In other words, Scofield contends that the Israel of today is God's chosen land, and therefore we must humble ourselves before it and treat it as though it was God's wisdom.
Because that's the only way that you're going to get Christians to jump on this bandwagon, because if you just look at the Jewish Zionism, is actually younger than Christian Zionism, which goes back into the 1800s. Stephen Sizer is really good at explaining that. But if you take away the facade of the biblical rights of the Jews to come back to the land, you have a group of people, the Palestinians, who always had the right to self-determination. That seems to apply to any other post-colonial nation anywhere in the world, the right to self-determination. After the empires of Britain and France and the Dutch Empire, all those things started breaking apart, the people had the right of self-determination, except when it comes to the Palestinians. They have no right of self-determination, and the Jews weren't even there in any numbers to be a part of that. It was this forced emigration into the land, and at first it started out very benign. They were buying up land from absentee landlords in Palestine, but then it got violent. And so if the Christians would not stand for this violence, had it not been for this being cloaked in this religious garb that C.I. Scofield and all these Christian Zionists have produced.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I don't believe Christians would have ever stood for this. And we have to conclude that the reason this Bible was written in the first place was to control Christians in America. That's exactly what happens, because today some 40% of the Christians in America attend churches that teach this idea of dispensationalism. And the dispensation that we now live in is one where we're told we need to treat the state of Israel as God's chosen people. Now, one might say, well, why do I care about this? It's true that it is a bad fight and that the Palestinians have a problem, but we can't fight everybody's battle, and what does this have to do with us? This is a very common statement. This is a statement that we hear from a lot of people and aren't deeply involved either way on this issue. And right. The answer to this question is that the world today is being affected grossly, including our own economy, by what's going on in the Middle East. We recently had a run up in the price of oil. We all pay this for this at the gas pump. We pay $2.80 a gallon for gasoline or diesel, and we used to pay a dollar for it. What's happened is that the Middle Eastern oil has been brought under control, where the production can be opened up or turned off like a spigot, and the state of Israel is very much involved in that. Today, we're threatening war against Iran, a big oil-producing country, and the enforcement of that is being done through the state of Israel, where the American people are paying for $80 billion worth of fighter aircraft over the next 8 years. So not only are we paying to arm Israel, but Israel is then helping to throttle the oil production so that the price of oil can be controlled upward. And of course, there are business interests who want that to happen. We don't have to explain who would like to see the price of gasoline go to $4 a gallon and stay there. So we are paying the bill for what has been done with the Scofield Reference Bible, which is convert the American people to the point where the majority will elect people who will support Israel's actions, and Israel's actions then supports the powerful Jewish and otherwise business efforts and interests around the world. And we pay for it both ways. We pay for the armaments that are used to cut off the oil supply, let's say in Iraq, where we have conducted a long war with Iraq, in Sudan, where there's big oil that's controlled, in Libya, where the government was destroyed, and we don't even know who runs Libya now. And on it goes, with Israel threatening somebody at war every day and us paying the interest. This is part of the long-standing, largely Jewish effort to essentially control the world affairs, the world finances, through banks and through other organizations that they run and invest in. But not to digress, but to answer your question, it is whenever something like this happens, we always have to look at what the effect really is. And in our case, this has a big financial effect upon every American. It isn't just protecting the Palestinian people from being killed, imprisoned, mistreated, and so on, which does go on. They simply stood in the way of the creation of the Jewish state in Israel, and so they're the victims.
But one thing we haven't discussed is just the nature of the whole Zionist agenda. It is a racist agenda. And the ethnic cleansing, that started from way back when, 1895, these words were published by Herzl, and he basically said, we shall try not to spirit the penniless population across the border, talking about the Palestinians, by procuring employment for it in transient countries while denying it any employment in our own country. Expropriation and the removal of the poor must be carried out discreetly and circumspectly. Obviously, they didn't want the world to know what they were really up to. And so that was Herzl back there in 1895. And of course, Ben-Gurion, he became the first prime minister in the 1937 Zionist Congress in Switzerland. He said, you're now no doubt aware of the Jewish National Fund's activity, which was buying up land from the absentee landlords. In this respect, now a transfer of a completely different scope will have to be carried out. In many parts of the country, new settlements will not be possible without transferring the Arab Fahalin, which is just the peasants. The Jewish power in Palestine, which grows steadily, will also increase our possibilities to carry out this transfer on a larger scale. So that was already in the works. There was never an idea we're going to live peacefully with the Palestinians, we're going to buy the land that they're selling to us and live next door. That was never the case. And think of the Mossad's slogan, "By deception, we wage war." The deception and how they portray to the world what they're trying to accomplish, it never gets exposed for what it really is. This is a racist, ethnic cleansing operation. And the fact that Christians have anything to do with this is what got me involved with We Hold These Truths way back when, because this is not right. This is not Jesus. This does not represent my Lord, does not represent my God. And the sad part, it represents too many churches that they're on board with this.
And that's exactly where we're going with this, is that our mission has been to the, in the past, it's been to the evangelical churches, where we've tried to convince them that they need to look at the results of what they're doing. The results of what they're doing is ungodly. It's unchristlike. Jesus stood for peace. He talked about peace. He lived in and died in a war zone. The Romans were occupiers. They simply ran it the way they wanted. They killed whoever they wanted. They believed in law by the sword. And they were extremely successful. I don't even know why they were in Israel and Palestine at the time. It seemed like a kind of a poor place to be, but they were there. And the Palestinians, of course, are just unfortunate to be in the way. What is really amazing is that Theodor Herzl and the people that planned in advance to occupy the state of Israel could hardly know that the Middle East was going to become the greatest oil pool in the world and stay that way for a century. And that is the bonus that Israel received then when they settled there and took over the Palestinians' land, which they now occupy 90% of it, I guess. And they then became involved in controlling the oil supply for the world. And that's one of the complaints that we have. However, you've named the direct result of this. It causes church people to be ungodly, ignore Christ's admonitions to love your neighbor, to even love your enemy, to stay out of war, to be a peacemaker. And it makes these churches turn their back on and a blind eye to. A blind eye is kind of a good statement. It's when you should see something, but you cause yourself not to see it. And that's what the evangelical church is doing all over America. And they are the swing vote today that controls the question of whether we have a Zionist-leaning government or whether we have a God-leaning government. It's very clear that Zionism is abhorrent to Jesus, to Jesus' teaching, to everything that we know of in the form of decency. And yet we have roughly 40% of the church-going people who, if you ask them today, they would say, it's Israel, they have a right. God gave them the land, and I don't even want to talk about it. This is generally the response we get. So you're absolutely right, Craig.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, this is a broad debate that needs to be fully examined. And the hardest thing is getting into the minds of Christian evangelicals that what they've been taught is not true about Israel, about the Palestinians, the whole problem in the Middle East. And they've been sold a bill of goods from very reputable, at least in their minds, sources. And so it's a very hard thing to sell and to say, you know, examine this, look at this, be a Berean, look at the scriptures. Look, do your history. There's so many excellent resources out there if you just want to take the time and to be educated. You have to be dumb on purpose to not really see what's going on. And our call is just for Christians to examine the facts and realize that killing innocent people, unarmed people, and stealing their land does not look like Jesus. Thanks for being a part of We Hold These Truths.
Thanks for listening. If you like this program, please let your friends know about it and our other thought-provoking podcast. And be sure to visit our website, whtt.org, for a wealth of information on Christian Zionism and other critical issues that we face. Also, at whtt.org, you can watch for free our award-winning documentary film, Christian Zionism, The Tragedy and the Turning, Part 1.